Welcome to 1UP's Family Transitions Podcast, a collection of stories and educational interviews about serving military families in transition. I'm your host, Jenny Ray, and I serve as an independent consultant with the Family Transitions team in 1UP, formerly the Military Families Learning Network. Our team provides education and resources for professionals working with military families to build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions. Our goal is for military families to increase self-reliance and navigate each transition more successfully than the last.
This is a three-part podcast series that builds upon our 1UP current webinar programming and focuses on strengthening couples' relationships. More specifically, this series will describe the National Extension Relationship and Marriage Education Model, or NERMAN, and how it has been used to design and implement two relationship and marriage education programs, which are HERMIT and ELEVATE. So this is part one of a three-part Strengthening Couples Relationship podcast series, and I'm your host, Dr. Jenny Ray, or just Jenny, and I have the honor of co-hosting with my colleague here at 1UP, Dr. Karen Shire. Welcome, Karen.
Hello.
Would you like to introduce yourself briefly here?
Sure. Okay. I'm actually a program development specialist that works with Jenny in the family transitions team for 1UP, and I am really looking forward to having Ted come here and talk with us about this topic. I actually met Ted for the first time about 21 years ago during a snowstorm in Kansas City. We were at a conference for family life educators and specialists for the land grants. And there was a team of us that looked at relationship education, and that formed a really cool relationship over the years. He was at Ohio State at the time. I was at Michigan State. So,
throw those teams
too
in
bad
there.
About the that rival. About Ohio State. I just don't get
Go
it.
Bucks.
Well, it's interesting to see that 21 years later, there's still conversation, there's still a relationship, and for all the work that's been done. So I'm going to introduce our guest today. We have the privilege of chatting with Dr. Ted Futris, professor in human development and family science at the University of Georgia and extension specialist in family life education. Ted's research has focused on couple and co-parenting relationships across various contexts in order to inform the development of programs and resources that promote healthy and stable families. He also evaluates the efficacy of family life programs in order to advance educational practices that lead to healthy couple and family relationships. So without further ado, let's welcome our guest, Dr. Ted Futris.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Jenny. I'm really glad to be here with you both. And yeah, boy, Karen, 21 years, you know, when you say it out loud, it's like, wow, you know, I'm getting old.
Yeah.
I'm catching up with you.
I don't think so. I just hit 70.
Yeah, but look at, she's still going.
She is still going.
And working.
She's amazing. You guys are both amazing. You guys are doing so much great work. And so it's really an honor to, you know, just be able to be here today and talking with both of you to share about your work. So to begin this first part of this podcast series, we're going to be talking a little bit more about NERMAN. So this is a really cool acronym. It's really fun. Can you tell us more about what NERMAN is and how it was developed or created? I'm going to put that in your plate, Ted.
Sure, absolutely. Happy to. So NERMAN stands for the National Extension Relationship and Marriage Education Model. And it's a framework of sorts that helps that ground and inform relationship education curricula and programming developed by a wonderful team of extension specialists and colleagues from multiple states, including Karen was on this team, you know, that all connected to NERMAN, which is the National Extension Relationship and Marriage Education Network. We love our acronyms in extension. So, so the model was the summation of just a collective body of work to, you know, of a great team that really looked at the research over decades to really understand what makes relationships thrive, what makes them, helps them be healthy, what helps couples succeed. And then we summarize that into kind of these eight kind of key pillars, skills, practices that are essential to a healthy relationship.
Thanks for sharing that. I love to see how research gets into practice and really about how all the members work collaboratively to make something really, really cool or unique, and that it's still thriving today. So you mentioned these eight core components. Could you, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but could you talk about what those are of the model? What, you know, describing examples of what they might be able, what they might be.
Absolutely. Well, we start off with kind of the concept, what we call choose, right? Which reflects the intentionality that you have to put into a relationship, the effort, the time, the commitment, right, that you devote to your partner, to practicing these skills and engaging in these skills, mm-hmm. to make the relationship last. So we as a team chose, you know, felt like choose was a good active word, action word that reflects that intentionality. You choose to be with your partner. You choose to make it work. So that's our kind of core foundation to the model. Followed by self-care or care for self, right? Which is unique to this model compared to what you typically see in most relationship education programs that kind of tend to focus a little bit more on the dyadic behaviors, the interactions, communication, conflict. But self-care is so essential, yet so under-emphasized mm-hmm. in relationships. Mm-hmm. And here our focus is on, you know, taking care of meeting your own basic needs first in order to be there for others. The analogy we like to use often is if you think about when you fly on a plane, that flight attendant, you know, shows you put your own oxygen mask on first before you put it on that person that you're with, right? Mm-hmm. So because you're really no good to that person you're with if you pass out, right?
Right.
So here we try to emphasize the importance of just physical health, mental health, emotional well-being, you know, all of those things foster healthy couple relationships and contribute to being there. Mm-hmm. You know, think of the Snicker commercials, for example, right? Where someone's really grumpy and irritated and then it's like, hey, are you hungry? Here, have a Snickers bar. You know, not that I'm trying to promote a brand or anything here, you know, just a commercial that I think people can relate to, but then they eat and they're like, oh, are you better? Yeah, much better. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you're hangry, it's hard to be there and listen to your partner. Right. So self-care is so important. Then there's the concept of no. And here, what we emphasize is it's the intimacy in a relationship, right? Oftentimes folks think of intimacy as being physical, but true intimacy, as one of the co-authors of the model and colleague David Schramm put it, and when we were developing Hermit, which we'll talk about later, put mm-hmm. it, he described it as into me you see, hmm. right? So no is about understanding your partner and maintaining that intimate knowledge of their likes, their dislikes, their goals, their aspirations, their concerns. So how well do we intimately know each other? And that's so critical to healthy relationships.
For sure.
Then there's a concept of care. Care is, you know, and as I say these, you know, we always joke when we were developing this model, like these words, like envision, like you remember, oh, well, I might be dating myself, the Care Bears, you know, like little fuzzy little Care Bears with these like little symbols on there, like, I care, you know, I know.
My daughter has them, so it's okay.
Right, yeah, cute. You know, if for those listeners who might be like, okay, boomer, just Google it, you know?
Yeah, what is a Care Bear?
But care is the idea of, like, you know, just that kindness that we express to each other, the empathy that we show, the gratitude, the respect, you know, that just that kindness, you know, mm-hmm. that we show in our relationships. Even just simple words as thank you are powerful, small gestures of love in a relationship, you know, just to not, you know, so your partner doesn't feel taken advantage of and undervalued, right? So care is very essential. Then there's share, where we emphasize and we see from research just the importance of not just spending time, but spending quality time together, fostering the friendship in the relationship, developing that sense of shared identity, right? Who are you as a couple? What defines you? What do you like to do together? What makes you feel connected, right? So spending time making, you know, and when you factor in concept of choose, for example, into this, it's not just finding time, it's making time, right? So when you take the intentionality and combine it with this, it's do you make time for your partner, right? So do you turn off that TV to connect or to turn towards your, right? John Gottman, in his research, talks about bids for connection. And when our partner is trying to connect, do we turn towards them or do we turn away or against them, right? So share is really important in terms of developing that connectedness. Then manage is the six one, right? Here, manage focuses on, you know, what we typically see in most relationship education programs is how do we manage conflict? Now, I often really focus on conflict management. I know that sometimes folks use the term conflict resolution, but a lot of times you can't resolve differences. You sometimes just learn to accept the differences, respect those differences. And so I think it's a risk to expect couples to always resolve their differences. But if they learn how to manage those differences well, how to communicate your needs, how to communicate your concerns in a soft, gentle way, and know how to de-escalate the conflict when it does arise so that you can have that discussion. You know, a lot of the work we have here comes from, you know, wonderful research out there. John Gottman, a lot of this is also grounded in, and he talks about, you know, soft startups. So it's how you, you know, for example, how you start the conversation. If you come into the room yelling, you know, oh my, I can't believe you left the dishes in the sink again, right? Then your partner's going to probably react a bit defensively, right? It's like, I just did the dishes yesterday, right? But if you gently come and say, hey, I could really use your help doing these dishes. Do you mind helping out, right? That's going to de-escalate, help you manage that conflict a lot better, right? Mm-hmm. And your partner's going to be less defensive. The last component of the model, which I think is another unique element that we incorporated into relationship education is the concept of connect. That, you know, it's that idea similar to when we say it takes a village to raise a child. It takes that same village to support that couple, to support the family, right? Not just the child. And so with connect, what we reinforce is how research has shown that when couples feel socially integrated, connected in their community, they feel they've got a support system, they have others to turn to in a time of need, then they're better able to manage those differences, that stress that comes up. They can talk to someone when they need to. And so that's critical. And then also part of connect is not just receiving support, but how couples together can provide support to others, right? And so how do they work together to help others in need, whether that be community service, volunteering, helping another family member, you know, that strengthens that couple's identity, you know, helps them work together towards a united goal. Mm-hmm. So connect is that kind of final kind of component of the model. So I think I covered all seven there. Yeah.
I would was going to just follow up and ask you, what kind of process did you use to really, because these are really robust components that you describe, and, you know, having worked with that model in my own work, I know that it fits together well. But one of the things I often heard early in this work around relationship education was modifiable factors. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little more on how the model is built around that?
Absolutely. So one of our lead co-authors on this model, Dr. Francesca Bader, who's at Auburn University, as well as Dr. Brian Higginbotham, who's at Utah State University. I think they worked together on this when he was actually a graduate student at Auburn, working with Francesca, mm-hmm. and they put out this wonderful publication in the Journal of Family Relations, where they really laid out these modifiable factors that contribute to healthy relationships and kind of really helped provide the foundation for that, launched this model, right? So I've got to give, you know, props to both Francesca and to Brian for really helping provide that initial foundation for this model, where they summarize some of that. But the idea is, you know, that what we summarize in the model is things that folks can do to change, right? So sometimes kind of your personality, you know, we're not here to change who you are. We're here to help you develop, help you learn skills that you can practice easily and engage in. So, you know, if you're an introvert or extrovert, we're not trying to change that. We're not trying to make you come out and be more open, but these are skills that you can actually change. These are things that through education services, you know, not therapy per se, but through educational programming can be modified, can be adjusted. So whether it be, you know, just learning how to take care of yourself, maybe eating healthier, that's modifiable. Or just knowing, you know, hey, pause and listen to your partner when they sound a little distressed. Maybe turn off the TV, turn toward your partner. Or knowing, you know, when you come into the room, you know, how do you start the conversation? So it's those things that we know from research that when these type of behaviors, these behaviors are changeable, and when they do improve, we see that it's associated with stronger, healthier relationships, long-lasting relationships.
So in addition to personality, are there other unmodifiable factors that we sometimes get hung up on? And
absolutely. Really, you know, I mean, I think income, for example, because with income and education, you know, you don't need a PhD to practice these skills to show your partner how much you care for them, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is when we look at education, we look at income, the lower those are, the more distressed individuals are, right? Mm-hmm. So when you have lower income, you're financially distressed. When you have a lower education, there's that risk of having a job that you really don't like, or that you struggle with, that creates stress. So those things contribute to you feeling stressed. That stress plays out in your relationship, right? And so these skills can help you and your partner manage that stress together more effectively. But you know, when you can't increase your income, when you can't maybe get that job you prefer that gives you that flexibility, that joy that you might like, when you feel like, well, I can't change anything else around me, Here are some things you can do that you can control, that you do have an influence over in terms of how you respond to each other in your relationship, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, thinking about our military families, for example, you don't have control over when you get, you know, called to duty. When you are called out to deploy, right? That's outside your control. You also don't have control maybe over the demands of the job, right? Mm-hmm. That waking up in the morning, getting ready, you know, those are the demands of the job. But you can't change that. But all of that creates stress and tension in the home, in the relationship. So what you do have control over is how you respond to it, mm-hmm. how you react to your, you know, to it with your partner. And so these are skills that we cover in the model in these programs that help couples learn how to manage those sort of tensions and conditions that they may not be able to modify. They don't have any control over. Karen, would you add anything else?
No, actually, that's really helpful because you gave some kind of nuanced examples that it's not as black and white as it feels. I just know that that whole idea from their paper, both Francesca's and Brian's paper, really has, it's impacted my thinking about curriculum development in general, that you really need to focus on what can be changed.
Yeah,
exactly. Thing. So, and no judging.
Right.
No judging.
That's probably the last thing that a couple or, you know, wants to hear or, you know, feel when they come into an educational kind of setting is, this is how we're going to change you.
yes.
They don't want to feel that that way. And so, yeah, many of the things you were mentioning, Ted, I thought, man, this is like relates really well to military couples, that aspect of connecting and socially integrating. A lot of couples and families just kind of struggle with that with military families. When they're moving so frequently, it's hard to get integrated with their communities. And those things they can't necessarily have change, you know, a control over. Right. So,
right,
yeah,
absolutely.
So we're talking a lot about you know the couple's point of view, but I wonder if we kind of shift gears a little bit and how professionals might be able to use the Nerman model as a tool to support these families.
Absolutely. So one, for all your listeners, they can access this model for free. It's online. They can download the PDF version of it if they, just go to Nerman, Nerman.org and N-E-R-M-E-N, Nerman.org, put that in for the network, or just Google National Extension Relationship and Marriage Education Model. They'll find it. Mm-hmm. They can access it for free. And for any of the professionals that are just wanting to understand the foundation, the science behind this, right? Because when, I described it earlier, these really simple terms, they don't sound very like scientific, they're real simple. We wanted to come up with some simple concepts, but when you read the book, when you read the chapters, we break down the science behind it, right? Mm-hmm. So there's really good, solid science and research behind these concepts, research that shows how those specific behaviors, attitudes, ways of thinking, cognitions are directly linked to relationship satisfaction, relationship quality, relationship stability, and there's just more research that keeps coming out showing how important these type of behaviors and skills are. So I think the Nerman specifically can be helpful for any of the military, family service providers, just to kind of get a firm grasp of like, okay, what is this? Now reading this isn't going to, mean that at the end, you're ready to be a counselor or a therapist, right? That's a completely different type of training, right? Yeah. Or, nor does it mean that after you read this, you are ready to go teach relationship education, right? but the model can give them kind of that solid footing to then take the next step for getting trained or they can also use it, for example, if they are trying to identify good curricula, good resources, right? So they can, when they look at a curriculum, whether it's ours, whether it's someone else's, they can evaluate it, kind of say to see, hey, what aspects of this model are addressed in this curriculum, right? Now, most curricula are going to get at concept of care, and share, spending quality time, managing conflict, most likely know in terms of how to develop intimacy, but seldom do curricula directly address intentionality, commitment, because those are, that's a concept of like you just kind of, you say I do on your wedding day, but then But then the question is, how do you do? You know, how do you do it, right? Yeah. So what does that look like in action? Very seldom will you see curricula address self-care and or those social connections. But you can use this as a way to kind of evaluate maybe those tools or resources. Mm-hmm. That could be another helpful way to use this.
Yeah, I'd really like to reinforce the intentionality. I remember when we were developing the Together We Can curriculum back in the early 2000s, first decade, that was probably one of the most powerful messages that came through the curriculum, is doing things on purpose to strengthen your family and your relationships. We often saw it show up on the evaluations, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was something that really helped people think yeah. about it.
Well, and even with regards to couple relations, Scott Stanley, who's at Denver and author of the PrEP curriculum. Mm-hmm. I know the military uses the PrEP yeah. and a lot of their strong bonds and some other programs, I think, with couples. He really did some great work reinforcing the whole concept of decide, don't slide, mm-hmm. right? Just conscious decision-making in relationships is so important. A lot of his work in that area was around the decisions that couples make before marriage whether to cohabitate or not. And a lot of times couples kind of slide into that. It just kind of happens. He uses physics term in terms of inertia, that just the momentum of the relationship mm-hmm. just kind of moves in, they move in together without kind of really thinking and making a conscious choice about, is this the right time? Is this what we want to be doing? And I think it transcends, I think, even past into marriage, that like sometimes in relationships, we sometimes get in a rut into kind of a pattern of maybe getting too comfortable to where, and then things just kind of keep happening because that's just the way things are or things were. And instead of consciously saying, hey, you know what, let's change things up. Let's do something different. Or let me go out of the norm here and hey, let's go wild here and do something, you know, together.
So I know in both of the next two podcasts that we do with you, we're going to talk more about Elevate and how it's been used. I wonder if you have any other anecdotes of either organizations or professionals who have used the curriculum or used the Elevate model.
I think if you take the concepts, you can also map them on in other domains of family life, right? If you look at, say, for example, parenting, right? Yeah. You know, I've written a brief with actually my colleague, Dr. David Schramm, for the Center, I think it was Center of Policy Research, connecting a model to co-parenting and parenting behaviors and how couple relations and parenting are linked. But if you take those concepts of self-care, for example, and apply it also to parenting, right? That hey, moms, dads, if you don't stop and take a breath and get some sleep and eat well, it's going to be harder for you to be present and there for your kid, right? When they need it. Or even the concept of know, that intimate knowledge, like how, you know, apply that to parenting, right? How well do you know what's going on in your child's life? Do you know your children's teachers' names? Do you know their friends? Do you know, what's going on? So, you know, a lot of times we ask kids, you know, that are school age, you know, when they get home. So how was school today, right? Now, every one of your listeners, when I ask that question, could probably automatically know what the answer is, right? Fine. Good, fine, right? That's what our kids are going to say, right?
Yeah.
And so we think, oh, well, okay, I checked the box, I asked how school was, I'm done. But if you apply the concept of know and say, you know, hey, you were studying last night for that math test. How did that go today, right? Mm-hmm. Right? Then you're applying that skill of hey, I I remembered you were studying last night really hard for that. How did that go today? And your child then says, oh, I'm important enough for you to remember that. Now, obviously, they're not going to say that out loud or acknowledge that, right? But subconsciously, they think, okay, this isn't just another how was school question. It's more specific, and you took the time to remember. Or if you were like really working hard towards trying out for something or working on a project, you know, asking specific questions can be helpful. But even these other concepts, even manage, how we manage the conflict with our partners can be also applied to how we initiate those systems with our kids, as they get older, especially our teenagers. I would hear my parents yell out my name, full name, the older school says, what it is? You know, I knew I was in trouble, right? But if they came down, gentle startup, Ted, we need to talk about something. I might be less inclined to run and hide, So I think the concepts here in this model could be easily transferable into mm-hmm. other domains, whether it be parenting, work relations, working mm-hmm. with your peers or coworkers, with friendships, other family relationships as well.
Yeah, I kind of thought of that as the professional could use the model themselves. They take care a lot of the things that have happened in the past couple of years is we're really trying to focus on self-care and taking care of yourself so that you can be a better provider, you can be a better professional in working with others. So lots of applicability I can see as this model has.
Yeah.
So this concludes the first part of our three-part podcast series with Dr. Ted Fudris. Want to learn more? Continue listening to parts 2 and 3 to learn more about how Nerman has been used to develop Hermit, a healthy relationship and marriage education and training, and how it might apply to your work in strengthening couples' relationships.
From all of us at 1UP's Family Transitions team, we thank you, Ted, so much for chatting with us today and sharing your expertise. For those listening, thank you for joining us. We encourage you to refer to the resources mentioned in this podcast on our webpage under the list entitled Additional Materials. Be sure to check out other podcasts, blog posts, and free webinars from our website at 1UP.org. This production is based upon work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense, under award number 2019-48770-30366.